Okay, so we're starting the new Gemara. Gimel Amud Aleph, four lines from the top. At the two dots, Ad Sefer HaShemura. So the whole first daf was talking about the first halacha in the Mishnah, that the Zman Kriyishma begins at Sefer HaChavim. And now we're going on to the second halacha of the Mishnah, when does Zman Kriyishma end? And remember, the first opinion was of Eliezer's opinion that it's Ad Sefer HaShemura Rishen until the end of the first watch, the first guard of the night. Okay, so now the following Gemara, the Gemara that we're going to do tonight is a little bit of a lighter Gemara than what we did on Daf Beis. We're going to see as we go through the whole Maseches Brachos, Bezras Hashem, there's going to be a lot of fluctuating between some very intense halachic Gemaras with a lot of lamdas and some agaritic Gemaras, and today's Gemara is a little bit in between. So the Gemara begins, Mike Sever Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer hold about the Ashmurais? Ik sever shalish mishmoris have alayla. So the Gemara here is referring to a brisa that we're going to see on Amud Beis, where it says that there's a machlekes tanayim whether there are three mishmoris or four mishmoris. And the Gemara wants to know, what does the Blazer hold? And the Gemara, the agenda here really is that we have a kasha. Really, the Gemara has a problem with the way the Rebbe Elazar expressed himself. Why does he talk about Ashmurais? Why doesn't he say how many hours it is? Now, reading the Mishnah, I'm not sure how many hours he meant. Because Ikasav or Shalish Mishmaris Havi Alayla, if he holds that the night is divided into three Mishmaris, three watches, then if you divide 12 hours into three sections, then each Mishmar is 4 hours. So then Rebbe Elazar in the Mishnah, he means 4 hours into the night. Lema, so let him say Ad Arba Shoyts. Let him say 4 hours. V'yikasav Arba Mishmaris Havi Alayla. If he meant that, if he holds like the Tana that says that there are four Mishmaris and each one is 3 hours long, and then when he said Ad Sefer HaShemura, he really meant 3 hours of the night. Lema, let him say Ad Shalish Shoyts. Then let him say 3 hours of the night. Why did he talk about the Ashmura rather than just speaking more plainly and telling us how many hours he means? And the Gemara answers, La'olim k'sever sholish mishmaris havi alayla. He holds there are three. Now, the Gemara knows that he holds that there are three because the Gemara found the Brice, which we're about to see in a couple of lines, where it says, Rebbe Elazar is on record as saying that there are three. But the answer to the Kasha, why did he talk about mishmaris rather than hours, is because B'hakam Ashmalon, he was coming to teach us the Ikka Mishmaris Birakiya, the Ikka Mishmaris Ba'ara. That, and the way Rashi explains this is that just as there are Mishmaris in the Rakiya, that's the Parshup Shat. The Gemara always knew that there are Mishmaris in the Rakiya, meaning the basic meaning of the word Mishmar, if you take a look at Rashi and Rasul Ikka Savar, that there are the Avoidas Hamalachim, Vishir Shalahem, Nechlak Lashlesha Chalachim. The Avoid of the Malachim and their song is divided into three parts. There are three groups of malachim that sing before the Ribbono Shel Olam in Shemayim at three different shifts. And that's the meaning of three mishmaris. So that's a heavenly thing. But what Rabbi Elazar was coming to teach us is that there are mishmaris down on earth also, meaning there are simanim here on earth to the mishmaris in the Rakia. And that's what he was teaching us by saying at Sefer HaShemura, he referred to the Ashmura so that you should know that there's such a thing even on earth as Ashmurites, and if you know what to look for, you could tell when it's the end of the first Ashmura. What does that mean? What kind of a simin and what do you look for? The Sanya. Where it says, well, here's the price. Rabbi Eliezer says, Sholish Mishmaris Havi Alayla. The night is three Mishmaris long. Okay, so that's first of all that we said there's a machlek tanaim, but now we know that Rabbi Eliezer is on record explicitly as saying that there are three. So we know that when he said Sefer HaShemura Rishon, it meant 4 hours. And now he elaborates. Val kol mishmer mishmer yeshiva kadosh baruch hu v'shoye karbi. Okay, so obviously we're not talking literally over here, but kivayachol. At each mishmer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits and roars like a lion. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hashem mimarom yishag mimarom kadosh yitin kaviloi sh'oig yishag al naveyu. Rashi explains that what's his drush? What does he see from this pasuk in Yirmiyah? In this pasuk, there are three. The word sh'oig appears three times: yishag, sh'oig, yishag. So the word, the root of sh'aga appears three times. That indicates that there are three times during the night that Kadosh Baruch Hu roars like a lion. And what's he roaring for? So at the end of the Gemara, it's spoken out a little bit more clearly that he is roaring about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. If you take a look, just keep one finger where we're up to, and go down about, I don't know, 12 lines to where it says, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Mishmei Derav, Gimel Mishmar Tavi Alayla, which is like our beloved said on the Braisa, V'alkol Mishmar Mishmar Yeshiv HaKashbarach V'shoyi Kari, that also is like our beloved said on the Braisa, but then he adds, V'oimer, and he says, Oy Lebonim Shabavine Sehem Hechravti Es Beisi, woe that I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash V'saravti Es Hechali, and I burnt my palace V'heglesi, and I exiled my children. So this Sha'aga that Rabbi Elazar talks about in the Braisa, where he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu roars three times,
negative.
It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu three times is lamenting the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the Golos of Klal Yisrael. V'simin l'davar, and this is why we brought the Braisa, right? Because Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah was teaching us that there's a simin on earth to note, to notice when the Mishmaris are changing in Shemayim. Mishmar Rishayna, the first Mishmar, Chamor Nayer, the donkey is braying. Shnia, the second Mishmar, Kolavim Tzayekim, the dogs are screaming, I guess barking loudly. Shlishis, the third Mishmar, Tinoik Yenek Mishtei Imoy, the baby is nursing. Vishim is the Paris and Bala, and husbands and wives are starting to schmooze. It's the end of the night. And like Rashi says, it's already close to day. People are starting to wake up. So people that are lying together, start talking with each other. So those are the simanim of the three mishmaris of the night. Okay, so this Gemara that we learned, you know, bepashtus, I would have said that it's, you know, it's teaching us some, I don't know, you know, inyan about what's going on in Shemayim. It's not really a halachadik Gemara. There are some mefarshim that try to explain all the Gemaras that just coming to be mefarish the Gemara. There are some mefarshim that are primarily paiskim. Like the Rush in the back of the Gemara is a Paisek, and he generally would only comment on those Gemaras that are halachadek. It's a little bit surprising that the Rush brings down this Gemara and says that this Gemara is halachadek, that there's a halacha that we learn from this Gemara. So if you have one, you can take a look at, turn to the back, the Rush, Simon Bays, it's a short piece, he brings the Gemara that we read, this Braisa of Rabbi Elazar, and then the statement of Rav Shmuel Mishmei Derav about how his Baruch was roaring, woe that I exiled my children and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And then it says, and here's what the Rush adds, V'roi l'chol yirei shamayim, and it's appropriate for every God-fearing person, she'hei meitzer v'doyeg ba'isa shah, that he too should feel distress and worry at those times, v'lishbech tachanunim al Churban Beis HaMikdash, and to pour out tachanunim, beseechment, about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, k'may shenemer, as the Pasuk says, kumi reini balayla l'reish ashmurais, the Pasuk in Eicha, cry out at night, l'reish ashmurais, at the beginning of each mishmar, or the reish, the head of each mishmar. So we learn from this halacha that that's appropriate for Yirei Shemayim. So the Rush says, This Gemara is halachadik. It's teaching us a practice as negev for me and you. The Gemara was just talking about what's going on in Shemayim. Yeah. And Baruch Hu Shayekar, he's roaring like a lion and he's lamenting the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But Zok the Rush, if this Gemara gives us a window into what's going on in Shemayim, like Baruch Hu is lamenting the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so we should also roar like Yirei Shemayim. This Rush,
get up every 3 hours.
Right. That's what it's saying. Or we should be up already. Yeah. This Rush is brought down by the Torah. And brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. This is in the Shulchan Aruch, in the very first Siman in Shulchan Aruch. This is the Erech Chaim, Siman Aleph. I think it's paragraph 2. Roy L'chol Yirei Shemayim, that it's appropriate for every Yirei Shemayim, that he should be, it's just this Lashon of the Rosh, he should be Meitzer V'doyeg, distressed and concerned about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and davening to Hashem that he should restore the Beis HaMikdash at the changing of the Mishmar three times a night. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So there's a couple of things here that in this Rush, in this Shulchan Aruch, that we should take note of. So the first is just the Dvar HaSayiris Shabbai. You know, the Shulchan Aruch says, he doesn't say that you're mechuyiv to, it's not like Kriya Shema, that you're mevatel mitzvah taseh, if you don't do this, Rori L'chol Yirei Shemayim. Okay, but many of us would like to think of ourselves as a Yirei Shemayim, and yet, you know, we feel very proud of when we're sitting on the floor on Tisha B'Av saying Kines or saying Nachem on Tisha B'Av, then we remember the Zechor Beis HaMikdash, we feel bad about it. But if someone deserves to be called the Yirei Shemayim, then he's expected to be doing much, much more than that. He's expected on a nightly basis to be Meitzir V'Dayeg on the Zechor Beis HaMikdash. So that's the first thing to take out of this rush, which again is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. But the second thing that we notice is that when the Rush describes this practice, and the Shulchan Aruch describes this practice, and it comes from our Gemara, what are the times, those people that are going to do it, and again, that's obviously it's not for everybody, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say everybody's mechuyv to, but those people that are going to do this nightly avelus on the Chorban, when do they do it? At the end of the Mishmaris. It's at the times, Lashon the Shulchan Aruch is at the times of the Mishmaris on Mishtanais. Now, we may be aware that the practice, a similar practice, does exist nowadays. It may not be so widespread, but we know people, or we know of people, that engage in a nightly avelus for the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, but we don't do it at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, right? At the ends of the Mishmaris, it's done at Chatzos. This is what's called Tikkun Chatzos. There are people, maybe primarily the Mekubalim, or others. I know people that are not really Mekubalim, but are big Yirei Shemayim that get up or stay up till Chatzos, and at Chatzos they say Tikkun Chatzos, and it's printed in many Siddurim, Tikkun Chatzos. But Tikkun Seif Mishmar Rishon, Seif Mishmar Sheni, I don't know if that's printed anywhere. So the Magen Avraham points this out. The Magen Avraham is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, and he points this out that the Shulchan Aruch, following this Gemara in the Talmud Bavli, following the Rush, says that one should be misabel for the Chorban Beis HaMikdash at the Sefer Mishmaris, but the Mekubalim, the Magen Avraham says the Mekubalim, right? the time to do it is at Chatzos. So there's a discrepancy between the practice as it appears in the Talmud Bavli, or based on the Talmud Bavli, and what's actually practiced by the Mekubalim. So the
Magen Avraham. When exactly is Chatzos? That's the second part of the morning.
It would be in the middle of the second Mishmar. Midnight would be the middle of the second Mishmar.
Right. So this is the end of the.
And here we're saying the end of the first, end of the second, and end of the third.
So when do they say Tikkun Chatzos?
They say it at midnight, which is not this time, right? So the Magen Avraham asked this kasha that the practice of the Mekubalim seems to be contrary to the Gemara. Okay, so let's put that on hold. We're going to come back to the Magen Avraham Sa'ara. Let's go on a little bit in the Gemara. Now the Gemara asks, on this Braisa, where Rabbi Eliezer said that this simonim for the three Mishmaris, the donkey braying, the dog barking, and the family waking up, the infant nursing, and the mother, and the wife and the husband talking to each other. Michael Chosh of Rabbi Eliezer. What exactly is Rabbi Eliezer counting? What's he giving simonim for here, over here? Is it are these simonim for the beginning of the Mishmar or the end of the Mishmar? Itchilas Mishmar is kachashiv. If he's counting the beginning of each Mishmar, Tchilas Mishmar Rishon is siman alamli. What do you need a simon for the beginning of the first Mishmar? The first Mishmar of the night, that's nightfall. So Rabbi Eliezer says, oh, go see where the donkeys are braying when it gets dark outside. Say tikachavim. That's or to who? It's the beginning of the night. Safe mishmar is kachashiv. If he's counting the end of each mishmar, so then I understand why he needed a simon for the first, because 10 o'clock at night, that's not when it gets dark. Nothing happens at 10 o'clock at night. So he gave you a simon of the donkeys. But safe mishmar achrein alamali simana. Why does he need a simon for the end of the last mishmar? The end of the last mishmar is the end of the night. It's the morning. It's when it starts to get light. Yamamu. That's when it's daytime. So either way, we don't understand what Rabbi Eliezer is giving simanim for. So the Gemara says, Ella, we could say, Chashiv Seif Mishmara Rishayna Utchilas Mishmara Achreina Ve'emtsoyis Te'emtsoyisa. The three simanim are for the end of the first Mishmar, the beginning of the last Mishmar, and the middle of the middle Mishmar. So the donkey brays at 10 o'clock, the baby is nursing at 2 o'clock, and the dogs are barking at 12 o'clock. And in Hanami, he's not giving a simon for the beginning of the first Mishmar. That's nightfall. He's not giving a simon for the end of the last Mishmar, because that's when it gets light. So that's the first pshat in what the three simanim are for. V'ibayisema, or if you want, we could say kulu seif mishmaris kachashav, that really they're all coming for the seif mishmaris. V'chitem achrein letzarech, and the kash that we had, that why is the last mishmar need a simin? L'maynaf kamina l'mikri kriyashon l'man degoni b'bayis afel. It's coming for someone who's sleeping in a dark house. And achanami, if you're out in a tent, or even if you have a window, then you don't need a simin for the end of the last mishmar. We don't have to say, oh, it's when the baby wakes up and the mother, the wife and husband are talking, because you could just see when it's getting light. But what if you're indoors and the shades are drawn, so you can't see when it's getting light? But like, oh, does my kriyishma aim us? You don't know when my kriyishma is. Oh, so on that, the Rebbe Elazar teaches you, came into ishma the paris and bala. If the wife is starting to schmooze with the husband, and the baby is starting to nurse, that means it's the morning, and he should get up, and he should say kriyishma.
So basically, you're talking about nesachama?
No. So the Gemara has two possibilities about what Rabbi Elazar's simanim are about. Either it's the... Let's say the second shot first, because that's the simpler one. The second shot was that it's all the seif mishmaris. We had a kasha, right? The end of each mishmar. We had a kasha. Why does he need a simin for the end of the last mishmar? It's the morning. The answer is, yeah. If you can see the outdoors, then you see it's the morning. But if you're in a dark house, then you can't see that it's the morning. So it was helpful to give us an indoor simin for the end of the night. And all three simanim are marking the ends of the three mishmaris. The first teres of the Gemara was a little more complicated, that the three simanim that Rabbi Elazar gave were for the end of the first mishmar, the middle of the middle mishmar, and the beginning of the last mishmar. And that way, the beginning of the night doesn't need, like the beginning of the first mishmar doesn't need a simon, the end of the last mishmar doesn't need a simon. So the three simanim are for the end of the first, beginning of the last, and the middle of the middle. So now, let's pause again on the Gemara. If we go back to the Magen Avraham that we left off with, the Magen Avraham had said that the practice of the Mekubalim seems to go against our Gemara, because the Mekubalim, like they the do Tikkun Chatzos, and like our Gemara has nothing to do with Chatzos. Our Gemara is going through the Mishmaris. It's when the Mishmaris change over, but nothing about Chatzos. Like the Magen Avraham, actually, now there is something about Chatzos. Emtzos to Emtzosa, that's Chatzos. So the Gemara isn't, it's not exactly like the Mekubalim, because the Gemara still has three times to be Misabel on the Churban, to be Meitzer V'Doeg on the Churban, and the Mekubalim are just taking one, okay, but at least the one that the Mekubalim are taking is one of the three in the Gemara. Not in the second Lashon of the Gemara, but in the first Lashon of the Gemara, the one of the three times is the Emsoyis to Emsoyisa, the middle of the middle. That's midnight. So, we have a makar in the Talmud Bavli for the practice of the Mekubalim. We reconcile that stira, that discrepancy that we have between these two practices. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Now, it's not so simple. I'll tell you. There's a Rashba. This is the Arab Tzlach. But we'll first say over the Rashba, and then we'll get back to what the Tzlach is bringing out from this Rashba. Let's just say over the Rashba. The Rashba says something very similar to the Rush that we saw in the back. That this Gemara, you're learning the Gemara, you'd think that this Gemara, has nothing to do with anything halacha l'maisa, because it's just like an agadata about the mishmaris and HaKadosh Baruch Hu roaring. But what does that have to do with the way I live my life? So the Rashba says, no, it's an afkamina. This Gemara makes an afkamina because you're supposed to live your life reflecting how HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels. And if we know that there are times during the night that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being misabel for the Yachal, for the Korban, so we're supposed to be misabel for the Korban also. And then, in the very next line, the Rashba says, and that which Rabbi Elazar gave a simon for the Emsoyis to Emsoyisa, when the dogs are barking, that, right, the Gemara said, the donkey braying, that's the end of the first mishmar. The dogs barking, that's the middle of the middle mishmar. And the baby nursing and the couple schmoozing, that's the beginning of the third mishmar. So Zok the Rashba, that which he gave a simin for the middle of the middle mishmar is also important to know. That makes an afkamina for achilas kachim. We learned in the Mishnah that the karbanos that are nechal yom v'layla, they're only ad chatzos. They're only nechal ad chatzos. So this siman, that when the dogs are barking, you know, it's the middle of Mishmar, it's a very useful siman to know, because now you know the seif has man for achilas kachim. That's the Rashba. So two lines I told you over. First, the Rashba says, what's this whole Gemara relevant for? It's relevant to know that you're supposed to be misalba for the korban when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misalba for the korban. And then the second line is, and what's the relevance of the siman for them, soyis to emtsi isa? That's to tell you this man of achilas kachim, which is ad chatzais. So ad kan debri harashba. In fact, that's lach akash, that's lach. I've quoted from him before, I'm not sure if I mentioned, that tzlach is written by the author of the Neid Behuda. It's Rabbi Cheska Landau, the Rav of Prague, 1700s. He's best known as the Neid Behuda, that's the name of his Sefer of Shailas HaTshuvos. But he also wrote a pirush on a few mesechtes, which is called tzlach. Tzlach stands for Tzion LeNefesh Chaya. So the tzlach says, there's something strange about this Rashba. He starts off, what's the nafkamina from this whole Gemara? It's to tell you that you are supposed to be Mesabal when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesabal. And then he says, and what's the nafkamina from the Amsari Stem Sisa? Wait, 1 second. What do you mean, what's the nafkamina from the Amsari Stem Sisa? You just told me. The nafkamina from this whole Gemara is to know when to be Mesabel. So why doesn't that explain the Amsari Stem Sisa also? The donkey braying at the end of the first Mishmar, that's a time to be Mesabel. The husband and wife schmoozing at the beginning of the third Mishmar, that's a time to be Mesabel. But the dog's barking in the middle of the middle Mishmar, the Rashba said, oh, what's the nafkamina from that? It's like, the Rashba, achilas kachim. Why don't you say again, to be Mesabel? Evidently, Zuck the Tzlach, evidently I see from this Rashba that the way he understood the Gemara was that even though the Gemara said that one of the simonim is for the emsoyis to emsoyisa, it doesn't mean that that's the time to be Mesabel. It's just explaining the simon. The simin of the middle mishmar is in the middle of the middle. Yeah. But the time to be misabel is only when the mishmar is changed over. The that which we learn from there, that royal chol yireh shemayim nis meitzev adoyeg, that's at the end of the first mishmar, the end of the second mishmar, and perhaps the end of the third mishmar, but not in the middle of the middle. The Gemara just says that the simin of the dog barking is a simin for the middle mishmar. How? Because it tells you the middle of the middle mishmar. It's not telling you the beginning or the end. But obviously the Rashba didn't think that was a time to be Misabel. The time to be Misabel is dafka when the Mishmaris are changing over. And there's but the Simonim are not always for the times that they're changing over. So the reference, Tzlach says the Magen Avraham is misunderstanding the Gemara. The Magen Avraham thought that when the Gemara says, and so is the Emesis, it means that's one of the times to be Meitzer V'Doyeg for the Korban. Zot Tzlach, I learned from the Rashba, Nishta Zayim. I learned from the Rashba that the only time to be Misabel, based on our Gemara, to be Meitzer V'Doyeg for the Korban, is when the Mishmaris are changing over. The Amsoyis to Amsoyisa is just an explanation of what the Simen is for. That Simen of the dogs barking is for when? It's for the Amsoyis to Amsoyisa. But the Avelis, the Meitzer V'Doyeg on the Korban, is only when the Mishmaris are changing over. So we're back to the drawing board that the Gemara is not like the Mekubalim. That's what the Tzlach is arguing the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham thought that although the Gemara first seems not like the Mekubalim, but I found one line in the Gemara, and so is Emsisa, which that's sort of a hook for them to hang their hat on, you know, that's something that the Mekubalim could rely on. The Tzlach says, no, I learned from the Rashba that the Emsois Emsisa was not meant as a time for Meitzer V'Doyeg. So he says, this Gemara is not like the Mekubalim. Zok the Tzlach, that doesn't, I'm not coming to put the Mekubalim out of business. He says, this Gemara is not like them, but there is another Gemara. He mentions a Gemara in Yevamah Saf Ayin Beis, where the Gemara says that the north wind, which is a very soothing wind, the north wind blows every night at midnight. And the Gemara says, how do you know? Because the Pasuk says, Vayihi b'chatzi ha'layla v'Hashem hika kol b'char. The Makas B'charis happened at midnight. So from there we learn that the north wind blows at midnight. So for Ekti Gemara, what are you talking about? What does this have to do with the price of tea in China? The Makas B'charis didn't happen with the north wind. The Makas B'charis was that because Baruch Hu B'chavadu V'atzma L'alei Le'imach L'alei Shliach. So how do you learn, because the Pasuk says that Makas B'charis happened at midnight, that teaches me that the north wind blows at midnight. So the Gemara says, what we mean by connecting it to that Pasuk is the Ace Ratzain Milsahi. It's teaching us that an Ace Ratzain is significant. If midnight was the time for Makas B'chayris, you see it's a good time. It's an Eis Ratzayin. And if it's an Eis Ratzayin, so that's also when the north wind blows. The north wind is a soothing wind, and it blows at midnight. Where do you learn it from? Well, because you see that that's when Makas B'chayris happens, so you see it's an Eis Ratzayin, so that's also when the north wind blows. That's the Gemara in Yavamis. So look, I see in that Gemara in Yavamis that we're calling midnight an Eis Ratzayin. So it's a good time to daven. That's the Makar for the Mekubalim. Again, maybe they have a Makar in the Zayir, but if you want to find them a Makar in the Talmud Babli, it's not this Gemara. This Gemara is different Zmanim. But right, it's only the times that the Mishmaris are changing. But the there is one Gemara that indicates, like the Mekubalim, that Chatzois is an Eis Ratzayin. That's the Gemara in Yavamis, where it says pretty much straight out, the Chatzois is an Eis Ratzayin. It's not such a great Makar, because it's not talking about the time to be Mesalva for the Korban, but it has this expression of Eis Ratzayin, so it's
so it's not negated at all with the Avelus?
Right, that Gemara is not talking about Avelus for the Korban.
Not at all.
Right.
Even though it's an Eis Ratzayin.
Yeah, no, so the Tzlach is saying, so, you know, you could say that makes it a good time to be Mesalva for the Korban.
Right.
But basically he's saying that's the best we could do. You have that Gemara, it's not so relevant, but it's a little bit relevant, take it or leave it. But this Gemara, forget about it. This Gemara is not going to support the Mekubalim at all. That line about Emsois Demsisa is not telling you that that's an Eis Ratzayin, that that's a time to make a day. It's just telling you that there's a simon for that time when the dogs are barking.
Yeah.
Lanias Dati, I think that even though the Tzlach brought a raya from the Rashba that he did not learn the Gemara the way the Magen Avraham did, the Rashba learned the Gemara that Emsois Demsisa is not meant as one of the times to be made Tzavadayik. It's just the time that the Simon is. But there is a Makar in Mishainim for the Magen Avraham's reading of the Gemara also. If you take a look at the Tais HaRash brings down from an earlier Rishon, the Rebar Zilai, that he's going on the Braisa. We learned in the Braisa before that Hashem is roaring three times during the night. And what's he roaring for? The Korban Habayis. So what is it? So the Rebar Zilai said, what is it about these moments during the night that remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Korban Beis HaMikdash? So he's tying it very geschmack. He said there's a Mishnah in Yuma where it says that when was the Tshumas HaDeshan done? The Tshumas HaDeshan was the Avodah that began each day in the Beis HaMikdash. But when I say began each day, it's a little bit of a misnomer. It wasn't really done in the daytime. It was really done before day, but it was the way they started their day. They started, the Tshumas HaDeshan means taking a little bit of ashes off of the Mizbeach, and that's how they would start the day, but they would start the day very early, so it was really pre-dawn. When did they do it? So the Mishnah says that on a regular day they did it at the Kreitz Gever, which is two pshatim in the Gemara. Let's say it means when the rooster crows. On Yom Kippur, they needed to make an earlier start because it was a very busy day in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. So they did the Tshumas HaDeshan at Chatzos. And Beragolim, and the Shalosh Regolim, that was the busiest day of all in the Beis HaMikdash. Those were busier than Yom Kippur. They would do the Tshumas HaDeshan, B'Seif HaShmur Rishayna. So there were three Zmanim during the night at which they sometimes did the Tshumas HaDeshan. The Kreitz Gever, which is not really identified so clearly when that is, but it's something pre-dawn. So the Rebar Zilai is saying that means that was the beginning of the last Mishmar. On Yom Kippur was Chatzais. On the Regolim was the end of the first Mishmar. And the Rosh quotes the Rebar Zilai, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shoyei Kari, he's roaring like a lion, at those three times during the night, because he's remembering then that that's when they did the Avodah of the Tshumas HaDeshan, the midst of the Tshumas HaDeshan, we don't have it anymore. So he obviously saw in our Gemara that the three times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is roaring are the end of the first Mishmar, the beginning of the last Mishmar,
right,
and the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Not like the Tzlach said that, right. No, the roaring and the lamenting and the wailing is all the end of the Mishmars, the end of all three Mishmars. The middle of the night is just when the dogs are barking. The simon to know which about the middle Mishmar was given for the middle of the middle Mishmar. But nothing really happens, not in Shemayim and not down here, nothing really happens at that time. That's how the Tzlach read the Gemara, and he brought a nice raya from the Rashba. But the Magen Avraham didn't read the Gemara that way, and I'm bringing a raya from the Rosh. The Tais HaRosh, he learned the Gemara like the Magen Avraham, that the when the Gemara refers to the Nesoris to Amsisa, what it means is that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sheikari. It's the Seif Mishmer Rishena, Tchilas Mishmer Achreina, and the Amsois to Amsisa. Those are the three times HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sheikari, and so those are the three times that will be Rory L'chol Yerei Shemayim, Lehiz Meitzer V'doyei. And it's then you have a nice Mukar from the Magen Avraham, and I'll just make one nice Tosafot. Well, you know, this is the Rosh, this Tosafot Rosh going to the Reber Zilai. The whole practice, you know, the whole that which just was brought down in Shulchan Aruch altogether came from the Rosh. So if the Rosh probably was learning the Gemara this way, if it writes this in the Tosafot Rosh, so, you know, presumably that's how the Rosh learned the Gemara, and so in the Piskei Rosh also, when he said Rory L'chol Yishmaim Li'ez Meitzer V'Doyeg at these three times, he meant including Chatzos, like the Magen Avraham was saying, and then it reconciles the minhag of the Mekubalim with the minhag of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, I think it's kedai though to just mention that. You know, at the end of the day, the Magen Avraham said you could be miyashev, sort of a little bit, meaning it's still not like, we're definitely not following the halacha as it comes from the Bavli. I mean, if you really just can leave out the Zayar and the Mukubalim and just follow the Bavli, so it'll be three times during the night. Arguably, one of the three times is Chatzos, but it'll be three times during the night. The minhag that we have nowadays, that some people follow nowadays, of Tikkun Chatzos, you know, we've been arguing, the Magen Avraham and the Tzlach are arguing about whether it's completely at odds with our Gemara or whether it stems a little bit with our Gemara. But it's definitely not founded on our Gemara. If you were going to follow our Gemara, you would have made up a different practice. You would have made up three times during the night to lament the Churban HaBayis, and that's not the minhag. The minhag is one time during the night, and it's at Chatzos, which is perhaps not even mentioned in our Gemara at all. So, the minhag is based on other sources. You know, the Magen Avraham doesn't say it's a Zayir. I don't really know if it is a Zayir. He says it's the minhag of the Mekubalim. Maybe, so, you know, some people say that it comes from the Zayir. I don't know if it does or it doesn't. But it's a minhag of the Mekubalim. It's not like the Pashtus of the Talmud Bavli. So it's a little bit interesting. Now, usually when there's a machlokes between the Talmud Bavli and the Zayir, so the halacha has to follow the Talmud Bavli. We don't follow a Zayar against the Talmud Bavli. Over here, the minhag follows the Zayar, even though it's seemingly against the Talmud Bavli. Not terribly shver, because it's not a real halacha anyway. I mean, again, nobody has to do this, so if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. It's just Rory L'chol Yerei Shemayim. But still, it's there is a makar in the Bavli that it's, even if it's not a halacha, but it's a hanhaga taiva. And yet we don't follow the Bavli, and that we follow the Zayar. It's a little bit unusual, but I think it's maybe less unusual than you'd think, because this whole inyan of trying to be mechavein the Eis Ratzon, to be misabel when Kiveyachal Kadosh Baruch Hu is being misabel, is a nister dika thing. It's a mystical practice. So it's not so surprising that over here, the people that do this practice are following the Zohar over the Talmud Bavli. This is, you know, the whole idea of this practice is very much associated with the Teres HaNister. Even what the Rush says is a Nister Dika thing. I mean, the Gemara just tells us, I mean, so you can almost say it's a Kabbalah Dika Gemara. The Gemara is talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Yeshiv Vashayi Karbi. And the Rush says that if you're a Yerei Shemayim, you should be Meitzer V'Doyeg at those same times, because that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Shoyi Kari. This idea that I should try to make my crying at the same time Kiviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying, it's really a Kabbalah Dekazach. So that's what, you know, so it's no wonder that the minhag of the Mekubalim, the input of the Mekubalim, is prevailing over here over the input of the Paiskim. This is really their inyan. I think there's an interesting diuk over here in the Rishonim and our Gemara that brings us out a little bit. I mentioned that the Rosh and the Rashba, they both say, they look at this Gemara, and they say that, you know, we learn from this Gemara, even though the Gemara is not really talking halacha, it's talking, you know, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shemayim, but we learn from here a halacha. What do we learn? That it's Rory L'chol Yerei Shemayim to be Meitzer V'Doyeg on the Churban Beis HaMikdash at the times that the Mishmaros are Mishtanes. Now, if you take a look in the Me'iri, the Me'iri is one of the Rishonim, and there's something that's kedai to know about the Me'iri. Well, first, let me tell you what he says. The Me'iri, he says, what do we learn from our Gemara? You have a whole Shulchan Gemara here. Is there anything that's negea to my life? Zok the Me'iri, yeah. If a person makes a neder that he's going to learn till the end of the first mishmer of the night, so there's a machlokes tanoim, whether it's 3 hours or 4 hours. And Rabbi Eliezer is saying that it's 4 hours. He has to learn 4 hours. And there's a simon of the braying of the donkey. When he hears the donkey braying, then he knows that his seder is over. He can go take a snack now. Yeah. All right, if he made it, it's a nafkamina, it's got to be nedarim. And he says, what, another nafkamina? If a worker made up with the employer that I'm going to work, I'm going to guard the farm till the end of the first mishmer of the night. So how long does he have to do guard duty? It's not like his tanayim. 3 hours or 4 hours. We pass like a blood. Or 4 hours. He has to work for 4 hours. And he knows his shift is over when he hears the donkey braying.
What happens when you don't hear donkeys? You're away from them? How do you know when it ends?
Then you get a watch. You have to get a watch.
Well, they didn't have watches. Right. But they must have had a sign how to...
I don't know. No, at night they didn't have signs. You didn't have the sky. There was nothing in the sky. So they had to rely on the donkey braying.
How do they know?
I don't know. They had to rely on the donkey braying. So the Me'iri. But you notice. You notice how the Me'iri.
There's always a husband in the house.
The Me'iri is bending over backwards to find. To find nafkaminas that don't have to do with the roaring part of the Gemara. Why? Because the so there's something about the Me'iri. The Me'iri almost, you know, really distinguishes himself among the Rishonim that he was resistant to any mysticism. He resisted anything in the Gemara that suggested mysticism. He stayed away from that. He tries to reinterpret.
Just
he tries
shot.
To. Okay. I don't know if this. He was avoiding. He had an avoidance of anything that was mystical, that was non-rational, and that's why he doesn't go the way that the Rosh and the Rashba do over here. Everybody, they're both doing the same project. They're trying to make a nafkamina from this gemara. So the Rosh says, "Yeah, it's time to make tzivdei because you want to be mechaven as a shah that they stress one because Baruch was shayi kari." The Me'iri didn't hold of that. He said, "No, the nafkamina from this gemara is gabi nedarim. Well, gabi schiris payalim." Because this is in Yonei Nister, in Yonei Kabbalah. The Me'iri didn't have anything to do with Yonei Kabbalah. So, but that also explains why the Minhag HaOlam, to the extent that there is one, is to follow the Mekubalim, even though it's against the Talmud Bavli. Because this is really an Indian Kabbalah. The Gemara that we're learning tonight is a Kabbalah, like a Gemara. Okay.
So easy with Shaos.
What?
It's so easy with Shaos, with hours. Instead of this whole
right,
thing.
Right, you know? Yeah, that's true. There is a benefit to having watches.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, halacha became much easier now that we have watches. Now, there's this last line in the Gemara that we read. It says that in the Ibrei Seima, the Gemara said, really, Rabbi Lazar is giving simanim for the ends of the mishmaris. Mm-hmm. The donkey braying is the end of the first mishmar. The dog barking is the end of the second mishmar. The infant nursing and the wife talking with her husband, that's the end of the third mishmar. And then the Gemara asked, well, why do you need a simon for the end of the third mishmar? Why don't you say, when it gets light outside, that's the end of the simon for the end of the third mishmar? So your answer is if you're sleeping in the dark, in a dark house, then you don't know when it gets light outside. Yeah. So you need a simon for the end of the third mishmar, and then you know it's time to read Kriya Shema. Right. So the Pnei Yeshua says, wait, those last words, and then you know that it's time to read Kriya Shema. Why did the Gemara bring that in? That the simon is useful if you're sleeping in a dark house to know when it's time for Kriya Shema. What was the first simon Negea for? The first simon, when the donkey was braying, was useful to know when it's an esvat sign to be mates of a day on the korban. The second simon, when the dogs are barking, was negeya to know when it's an esvat sign to be mates of a day on the korban. The third simon, when the wife and husband are schmoozing, say the same thing. You had a kasha, why do I need a simon? Just see when it gets light outside? You're in the dark. So you can't see when it gets light outside. So you listen to when the wife and husband start talking. But what's it negeya for? It's negeya because it's an eis vesein to daven to be mates of a dayag on the korban. Why is the Gemara bringing Kriya Shema? We're talking about being made tzedek. That's what the other two are for. So why don't you say the same for this one also? So the Pnei Yeshua says, I think from this Gemara it seems that the practice of being made tzedek is not at the end of all three mishmaris. It's only at the end of the first and the end of the second. Because it's only when it's switching from one mishmar to the other. That happens twice a night. When it switches from the first to the second, when it switches from the second to the third. Bizman Shaha Mishmaris Mishtanois, then it's the time to be Meitzav Adayeg on the Churban. When morning comes, that's not a time to be Meitzav Adayeg on the Churban, then you know, the night's over. So he says this Chiddush, that there aren't three Ace Retzins in the nighttime, there are two Ace Retzins in the nighttime.
Right.
Mm-hmm. End of the first and end of the second. Now, he ends his discussion over there. He just says this Chiddush. He says that he thinks that it's only two times, not three times. I think it's geschmack to put this together with a piece from the Ben Ishchai. That's Rabbi Chaim of Baghdad, who is one of the classic Mefarshim when you're learning an Agadata, and certainly some of the Gemara is Agadata. There's a very beautiful piece in the Ben Ishchai. He has a sefer called the Ben Yehoyada on. By the way, this is a very recent. Right, the Ben Ishchai was nifter just a little bit over 100 years ago. He was the Rebbe of Baghdad. And he has a classic Svarim on Halacha and on Agada. Mm-hmm. And he explains in this Gemara as follows. He says, this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sheikari in the three Mishmaris of the nighttime, and it gives Simonim, Chamar Noyer, the Klav of Tzoyakim, what's really going on? So he says, well, the first Beis HaMikdash, Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Nedarim, that says that why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because they weren't, the way he interprets it is that they weren't giving enough attention to the Torah. They were a lack of Amelus Batera. The symbol of Amelus is a donkey. Chamar Lamasoi, the lesson of the Pasuk. Chamar Lamasoi. That a donkey undertakes a burden, right? The we had Parashat Vayechi that we just read a few days ago, right? Yisachar Chamar Garem, Revit Spanish Pesayim. Right? The Chamar is the symbol of hard work. So the Amelus Batera is supposed to be symbolized by the Chamar, and the lack of that is the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash. That's the symbol of Chamar Noyer. The second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says in Yuma, that it was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam.
Mm-hmm.
Sinas Chinam, so he says, Sinas Chinam is he equates with Lashon Hara. It's maybe, you know, that's the Aveira that comes as a result of Sinas Chinam. You know what the Gemara says about Bala Lashon Hara? The Gemara in Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Ches says that HaMasapar Lashon Hara, Vashemei Lashon Hara, HaMakabal Lashon Hara, is roi lashlichoi leklavim, deserves to be thrown to the dogs. So the pasuk says, it says lakalav tashlichon oisai, and then the next pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim is lakis hashem hashav. So the Gemara says we learn from there that somebody that's involved in lashon hara is roi lashlichoi leklavim. So in the second mishmar, Kadosh Baruch Hu is crying over the second Beis HaMikdash and the Aveira that caused its Churban, which is Lashon Hara, and Eschino Lashon Hara. So the simon for that is the Klofim Tzayikim. So the first one was the Chamar Noyer, that corresponds to the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash. The second one is the Klofim Tzayikim that responds to the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash.
Uh-huh.
The third one, Zakta Ben Ashchai, that's the third Beis HaMikdash. That's the third Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. And there's no Churban of the third Beis HaMikdash. There's no simin to the Churban. There's no crying because the third Beis HaMikdash Fakir, that's the Geula. Oh. What's the simin? The simin is that Tinek Yoinek, Isha Mesaperasim, but Tinek Yoinek Mishtei Ima, right? The Tanya uses the Lashon, the child that's sucking from his mother's breast. What does it mean to say? The direct connection. It says, well, that's the time that there's going to be a restoring of direct connection, direct hashpah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. The Isha Mesaperes and Bala, another mashal, Isha being Knesset Yisrael and Bala to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they're schmoozing with each other,
Shalom,
meaning that there's
going to
be a closeness Shalom. Between them. Levachol Benayich Mudei Hashem, that La'asa Lavoi, all of Klal Yisrael is going to be familiar with Kadosh Baruch Hu, with the Dvar Hashem, with the Torah. So this is about the time of the Gula, the third base of Mikdash. So he interprets all three simanim, but very, I think, meaningfully. The first two simanim were about a bad thing, but the third simon is a simon for a good thing. Mm-hmm. So that's like the Pnei Yeshua said, right, that the first simon and the second simon are times, or the end of the first mishmar and the end of the second mishmar, those are times to be made tzvedeig on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But the end of the third simon, that's not a time to be made tzvedeig on the Churban Beis HaMikdash for Karet. That's already a good time. So that's the chiddush of the Pnei Yeshua, that the made tzvedeig on the Churban Beis HaMikdash is really only for the first and the second. That's, again, the Pnei Yeshua doesn't speak at any of this, you know, Torah from the Ben Ishchai, but we could be mitzarif that to the Bnei Yeshua. I think it makes it, it gives us a good sense of this mahalach. Abel Amaisa, the Tzlach, argues with the Bnei Yeshua and says, very nice, you know, based on a diuk in the Gemara, why did the Gemara bring in Kriyashma? Why didn't the Gemara say Nafkamina for Bimacham and the Eis Ratzoin? So based on that, you wanted to say, oh no, there is no Meitzav Deg at the end of the third Mishmar. But the problem is, sorry, you're wrong, because if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, it's clear that it says the end of all three Mishmaris. It's not subject to interpretation. I mean, unless you want to argue on the Shulchan Aruch. But the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is that the end of all three Mishmarais is the time to be made to Vedeig on the Churban. So the Tzlach argues with the Pnei Yeshua, and again, I guess implicitly he's arguing on the Ben Ishchai's whole reading and interpretation of the Agarta here as well. But then he's back to the Kasha. If we come back to the Lomdus of the Gemara, he's back to the Kasha. So why does the Gemara mention, why does the Gemara jump to Kriyashma? Why didn't the Gemara say that it's a time to, you'll know what time is the Eis Ratzon? So he says something very interesting. I'm going to adapt it a little bit. The Tzlach says that the Gemara's Lashon is man deguni bebayis afel, someone who's sleeping in a dark house. And then when this simon happens, he knows it's morning, he'll get up and read Kriyashma. The Pnei Yeshua had a kasha, why doesn't say he'll get up and he'll do his tikkun chatzais, whatever, tikkun ha, you know, seif mishmaris? Because if you're sleeping and then you're relying on the mishmar to wake you up, on the simen to wake you up, then you missed it. The Eis Ratzon has to happen at the right time. The Eis Ratzon is precise. So the people that are sleeping, they don't do this stuff. This is for people that are staying up all night, or right, at least, you know, for part of the part of the night that's relevant. But if you're waiting to be woken up by the simen, then you lost it already. So mandagani, gani means sleeping. Mandagani by yourself, the guy that's sleeping in this dark house. And then when the baby's nursing and the wife and husband are schmoozing with each other, he says, oh, it's morning. That's not going to help him for being mechavin in the Eis Ratzon and being made to v'deig on the Churban. What's it going to help for?
Kriyashma.
It's going to help for Kriyashma. Because the Kriyashma, he actually still have time for. Now, what do I mean you still have time for? So, very, very important. Let's take a look at Tosis now. That's a segue into Tosis. The third Tosis on the page. The Gemara says that the end of the third Mishmar, when the Simon comes, it's the end of the third Mishmar, so that's a good time to get up and say Kriyashma. V'yim Toimar. Tosis says, Sekasha, V'halo Yerab Eliezer, Bo'i Ad She'yakub in Tchilas L'karisu, B'kriyash V'l'shal Shachres. Tosis says that you don't say Kriyashma at the crack of dawn. That's not the time for Kriyashma. Kriyashma is after it gets light.
Yeah.
A little bit light enough that you can tell the difference between blue and white. And this, and Tosis says, Rabbi Eliezer personally, he's the Tanna of this Braisa. He's one of the Tanaim in the Mishnah Daf Tes who gives these shiurim. But even the Tanaim that argue, everybody has some shiurim of light. So Alaysa Shachar is not a time to read Kriyashma. So what's the Gemara talking about? That, oh, when you see the simen or hear the simen of the baby and the husband and the wife, so now you know it's time for Kriyashma. The Yesh Lamer says, the answer is, Mikol Mokam, Kimin Sheyodam, Mosa Yala, Amura Shachar. Now that you hear this simon and you know it's dawn,
right.
So you could start to stretch and yawn and open one eye, open two, and then, Kredim Sheyokam, Vizamin, that's my Kvargi, I say Ace. If you start getting up then.
And like, prepare yourself.
Right, prepare yourself. I mean, we know what it's like. You know, first you find your left slipper, then you look under the bed, you find the other slipper. And it takes a few minutes, so you get yourself together. By the time,
this snooze button,
right? So, if you press the snooze button, is the baby going to start nursing again in 5 minutes? I don't know. But it takes some time to wake up. Mm-hmm. So, the simon is for Alayis HaShachar, and by the time you get yourself together, it'll be Zman Kriya Shema.
The snooze is for the husband.
Okay. So the Tzlach says, after reading this thesis, it's very geschmack why the Gemara mentioned Kriya Shema and didn't mention Eitz Ratzon. Eitz Ratzon is precise. It's got to be at that moment. So if you're being woken up by the simon, then forget it. You missed it already.
Right.
But for Kriya Shema, it's perfect.
Right.
You're woken up by the simon, and then by the time you get yourself together, it'll be time for Kriya Shema.
Right.
Now, there are poskim that ask a kasha on the Gemara that Ramesh Feinstein, he asks an interesting kasha. He doesn't really say it as a kasha. He says, I see an interesting chiddush from here. He says, the Gemara is giving simanim. Now, these simanim can't be very precise. The time that the dogs are barking, the time that the donkey is braying, the time that the baby starts to nurse. Surely these things vary a little bit from night to night. It's not, usually we like simanim like when the sun rises. That's predictable astronomically. If you know the calculations well enough, you know the exact moment that it's going to happen. There is a specific moment. When the baby nurses, what if the baby's having a bad night?
Right.
What if
the baby... It could be earlier, it could be later.
Right, it could be earlier, it could be later.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Moshe, Mistama, this is just a rave. Right? It's saying that this is a normal time. Right? Normally this will happen at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. But then, Dr. Moshe, so it seems from this Gemara, an interesting chiddush, that for Zman Kriya Shema, you're allowed to rely on a rave. If you don't have a watch, right? You're in a bias afel, but you have some kind of a simin, right? The Gemara is talking about it, it's specific simin, maybe nowadays people wouldn't follow that simin, but you have something that indicates to you that this man arrived, but you're not really sure. You could be samech on the rive. And Ramesh says it's a chiddush because it's David Sheish Lamatirin. If you wait another hour, then you'll know for sure. Or another half hour, then you'll know for sure. Since when do we follow a rive by David Sheish Lamatirin? So it's a chiddush. But Al Kabbalah, we see from this Gemara, this chiddush, that you're allowed to rely on a rive for Zman Kriya Shema. But others say, based on what we saw in this Tosfos, that maybe you don't see that from here. The Ben Ishchai again. The way he speaks it out is that the Gemara doesn't mean that you can rely on this simon to read Kriya Shema. The Gemara means that when are you read Kriya Shema? Mishe Yakar Ben Chayla for Karsi, right? Like Tosfos says, you have to. You have to see what's doing outside. But you're in a bias afel. So it means you have to go outside and look at the sky, and see how light it is. If you wake up in the wee hours and you're thinking, maybe it's time for Kriya Shema, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't, you wouldn't necessarily schlep yourself out of bed to go outside and see if it's light enough to read Kriya Shema. But when you hear this simon, the simon the Gemara described, the Tinek and the Ish Ubala, so then that makes a roiv that it's probably morning. So we're samech on that roiv to get out of bed and go outside and look. When are you going to be Kriya Shema? Only when you see the sky. But you're in a dark house. You're only going to see the sky if you go outside. The Gemara is telling us that when you have this simon, it's kedai to go outside. You don't have this chiddush of Ramesha. That's what the Ben Ishchai says. Again, based on
so it's like a so you're being samech on the roiv of the what the metzias is.
Right. It's not a halachic.
Right.
This samech on the roiv is really just like sort of describing people's habits. That a person wouldn't want to schlep himself out of bed unless there was a strong probability that it was already the zman of Kriya Shema. So the Gemara is saying that at this when you have this simon, there's already a strong probability that it's the zman of Kriya Shema. So it's kedai to schlep out of bed and go check it, check what's doing outside. Okay, let's go back and read the last part of the Gemara and we read it already before, but out of order.
Right.
Let's do it once more. Amar Yitzchak bar Shmuel Mishmei deRav. Sholish Mishmar is Havi Alayla. Right, this is a repetition of what we had in the Brayts. About Kol Mishmar Mishmar Yeshem Kadosh Baruch Hu Shoyi Kari. He roars like a lion.
Right.
And now this part we didn't have in the Brayts. But Omer and it says, Oy Lebanim. Right, woe to the children. That with their sins, because of their sins, I destroyed my Beis HaMikdash, and I burnt down my palace, and I banished them among the nations of the world. Now, if you have a new Gemara, right, which has the notes the based on the older editions, or the Oizvah HaDu Gemara, there's an Aleph. After it says Oyla Banim Shaba Avoyne Sehem, and it says that this is really a fake girsa. In all the old Gemaras, it doesn't have this Lebanim Shaba Avoyne Sehem. It's the girsa was Oy Shechrafti Es Beisi, Beserafti Es Echoli, Veglesi Es Banim Levenu Mitoylam. Woe that I destroy my Beis Hamikdash, and that I burnt my Echol and I exiled my children. And that which it throws in Labonim Shabavayne Sehem is because of the censors. The Christian censors were offended by something in this Gemara, and they put in the words Labonim Shabavayne Sehem. So when I saw that, the way I had first understood it was that they liked the idea of Avayne Sehem. They wanted that it should say that the Jews are guilty.
Yeah.
That if you throw in the word Avayne Sehem, so it's saying that the Jews are guilty for the Churban HaBayis. So that's what the Christians wanted to put into the Gemara. But that was a misunderstanding. I thought it was a little bit strange that, why does the Gemara have to say that? I mean, there's enough other Gemaras. We mentioned two Gemaras already tonight that talk about the Averis being responsible for the Churban HaMikdash. That's not one of the things that the Jews are trying to avoid, that the Christians had to go and put it into this Gemara. That's not what it was about. The reason why they were changing it, I saw in the Taz HaRosh that he's bothered by Akash. I don't remember. I don't remember how he answers it, but it was clear from the Taz HaRosh that what was bothersome about this Gemara is that Oy, the Lashon of Oy Shechafti Yisbeisi, sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was disappointed with himself. Woe that I destroyed my Mikdash sounds like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Like he has regret that he destroyed his Mikdash. One of the things that the Christians used to criticize the Talmud for was that it was disrespectful of God. And the first time the Christians started off with the Talmud, which was Nicholas Donin, right, in Paris in the 1240s, Nicholas Donin went to the Pope with a list of complaints against the Talmud. So some of his complaints were that the Talmud has offensive things about the non-Jews, about the Christians, about the origins of Christianity. And naturally, those things would be upsetting to the Christians. But he also had a different collection of statements in the Talmud that he went to the Pope about because they were offensive towards God. And that seems surprising to us. I mean, we learn Gemara all the time, and we think it's a very religious book. And he came with all these tainus saying that, no, there are things in the Talmud that are anti-religious, sacrilegious. And it was these kinds of things that indicate that God, kaviyachol, could make mistakes. So if over here, it's like, if he's saying, oh, darn, I shouldn't have done that. That's the invocation of Oishach Rafti Hizbeisi. Woe that I destroyed Beis HaMikdash. It's like he did it out of anger. And then after he's saying, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
So that was offensive to them. So now, I don't know if it means so they stuck in these words or we stuck in these words so that they shouldn't be upset. They should have let us keep the Gemara. But this was more pleasing to them. Oy Lebanim. Without that phrase, just oy sounds like oy li, like I did something wrong. Oy Lebanim Shabavoyne Sehem means woe to the Jews that they brought it about. And for them it's woe.
Yeah. Yeah. But we caused it.
But Lamaisa, that's the Christian version. The Jewish version is Oishachefti Esbeisi, that we don't have a problem with HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressing himself like this. Even though, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kol Yochel, and he's a Kol Yedeya, and he doesn't have regret in the sense, you know, the way that we have regret, but we're comfortable with expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressing feelings as, you know, that we would relate to as if he was one of us, and describing his feeling of closeness to us, and that it pains him that this came about. So this is, it's a Jewish expression, but it's, again, the Oy Shechrafti Esbeisi is a Jewish religious expression, but it was not considered acceptable to the Christians.
Concept.
Okay.
Sure.